Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Happy South Jersey Sportsman's Jamboree Day. Hey, you're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of April 26th and 27th. What a way to close out the great month of April. The Sportsman's Jamboree being held at the Dream Park in Gloucester County, 400 Route 130 South Logan Township, New Jersey. Easy peasy to get to. We're going to be flying across the Atlantic City Expressway, 295 to 130, and bada bing, bada boom. You are there. Just a reminder, trout stocking in South Jersey is about closing it out now. This fourth weekend stocking, now the waters like the Toms River, Manasquan, and Matitoconk, they're going to go for another 3 weeks or so. But here's the dealio. For Monday the 28th, Manasquan 980, Mingomahone 120, North Branch of Matitoconk 320, South Branch 520, Toms River 530, TCA, and the Toms is not stocked. And Pahakon Lake and Tuckerton finally closed out with 480. That's Monday. Now, yesterday, Friday, was also stocked with 400. So you have 960 trout running around that lake right down Route 9 in Tuckerton. You can't beat it. Plenty of access along that boardwalk. Tuesday, the Shark River is going to get 270. Wednesday, Assapin Creek 220, Crystal Lake 420, South Branch Rancocas Creek. That is a sleeper. Get the right trout magnet in there. You're going to get them. 180 on Thursday, May 1st, the Cohansey 100, Gloucester City Pond 100, the Morris River 330. I love the Morris there, Sherman Avenue, hot, hot, hot. And the Great Ponder Lodge Pond 370, nearby Tuckahoe Lake in there by Belle Plaine 420. And for the South Jersey area, that should be a wrap-up for the trout stocking. Hey, man, have a really jam show talking to Jamboree, so grab that cup, grab that rebel. Be right back. Tommy Connors, legislative liaison for the New Jersey Outdoor Alliance, hanging in the wings. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. What a day, what a day. And here comes May. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Once again, we're joined by our good friend Scott Spencer of Batteries Plus in Northfield and Mount Laurel. Scott, I know you can't wait to make this announcement, so take it away.
Batteries Plus has always been known for providing excellent sales and service to South Jersey. We're proud to announce our technology service centers are now 100% Apple and Samsung certified. Attaining these rigorous certifications with our technology partners is just another example of how we continue to deliver on our commitment to quality and our customers.
Can you explain what the certifications mean to your customers?
Having a Samsung and Apple certification, it's the training, it's the hours of support, it's the equipment that we're using, it's the software to check and double check to make sure that your repair is done right the first time, and all the components that we use to repair your phone, we use original Apple and Samsung parts.
Find just about any battery you need and also get your Apple or Samsung phone certified repaired. Scott, now tell us how to find you.
Go to batteriesplus.com, type in your location, and choose Northfield or Mount Laurel.
The 80s Rock Tour, featuring hits from Foreigner, Journey, and Asia, is coming to Ocean Casino Resort in Atlantic City on May 16th. Relive the glory days with legendary artists Lou Gramm, Steve Augeri, and John Payne, performing all of their hits, including I Wanna Know What Love Is and Don't Stop Believing. Tickets are available at theoceanac.com. Don't miss out on the ultimate 80s rock experience at Ocean Casino Resort. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes at Homes for Our Troops. And thanks to our donors and supporters, this life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit hfotusa.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station.
Okay, here we go. Going on today as we speak, well, actually going to be in a few hours, it's the New Jersey State Federation of Sportsmen's Clubs, South Jersey Sportsmen's Jamboree there at the Dream Park in Gloucester County, 400 Route 130 South in Logan Township. Rain or shine event's going to be some thunder showers, no big dealio. It's going to be a super event, very educational here. You have an outstanding lineup of organizations that are fighting for the rights of the hunters, anglers, beach access, all that good stuff. I guess I feel for the people in New Jersey Forest Fire Service. No, they're going to be there if they're going to be there, because that fire in, down in that Weirton area was absolutely horrific. Several families that were misplaced. Everything's working out for them finally. But If you can attend this event, it's going to go till 5 p.m. It's going to be super. One organization in particular gearing this towards the elections that are coming up in November. It's New Jersey Outdoor Alliance. Man, you talk about a Sherman tank coming at you. It's the antis, we know. The antis are trying to flank. They're doing whatever they can. This organization is right there, front and center, getting it done. Joining us on the line is Tom Connors, legislative liaison with the New Jersey Outdoor Alliance. We're going to talk several key things that are on the board right now. Walking the fine line, working both sides of the aisle, especially in election year, with some critical issues happening. Tom's going to share that with us. Tom, how you doing?
Good morning, Tom. I'm doing great, my friend.
Great to have you on Rockin'. By the way, how's that family, that incredible bird-finding German Shorthair?
Oh, everybody's doing great. She is something special. I wish I had two of them.
Listen, there's no game bird is safe, stocked, wild, or otherwise. Well, Tom, at the Jamboree, you have some outstanding organization. NJOA is there. The Federation Naturally is there. New Jersey Waterfowlers, et cetera, Wild Turkey Federation. Let's get to the nuts and bolts here, because it seems decisions regarding fisheries and wildlife in New Jersey are made at a political level. Eventually, somewhere down the road, and combating bills that are coming out to stop hunting, trapping, fishing, whatever, or stall it or do whatever. With the NJOA, you're walking that line, Connor, with working both sides of the aisle. And that gets to be pretty tenuous, does it not?
You know, Tom, at sometimes, you're right. It is a delicate, tightrope that you have to walk. Most of what we do is educating legislators on sportsmen's issues. Mm-hmm. And there are plenty of those. And you touched on the animal rights activists that are sometimes, a pack of wolves at your front door, no pun intended, that they like to disrupt things, and they like to, force sportsmen to recognize their way of life when they don't recognize that this is part of our heritage, part of our state's history. Mm-hmm. is our ability to hunt, fish, trap, and you know we do quite a bit with our legislators. In fact, we're talking with legislators almost daily on sportsmen's issues and the different agenda items that we have that we like to move forward. Also the ones that we also like that we need to stop. And what a lot of folks, a lot of sportsmen and women in the state don't realize is that, yes, we have moved quite a bit of legislation as the NJOA, but we have also stopped lots and lots of bad legislation trying to reverse the good things that we've worked on for sportsmen. So a lot of times those things are not part of a press release. They are things that we work with legislators in Trenton with to put some bills in a drawer and forget about them. But we've made quite a lot of progress over the past 15, 16 years. Mm-hmm. And there's still a lot more work to be done. And now with, as you touched on, this forest fire in Ocean County, in the next coming weeks and months, there's going to be a lot of talk about forest management in the state and controlled burns and thinning of the pine barrens. Mm-hmm. That there needs to be some sort of reduction in a lot of these in a lot of trees, which a lot of folks that love trees, love the environment, they don't want to hear that.
Thomas, let me interrupt you a second. Just I remember that with when they were trying to do the woodcock or grouse improvement habitats up there, one of the Sparta Mount, one of the North Jersey wildlife management areas. No, you can't do this, you can't do that. They're denuding the forest. They don't understand the concept of the forest management, the healthy environment, second growth. And you get these long, tall forests and whatever, and they're barren of wildlife pretty much.
There are. I've seen that myself when I've been out hunting with our sons, that sometimes you don't even see a squirrel. You can walk and walk for hours doing a deer drive or looking for a pheasant, as you said, woodcock, and there's nothing nothing lives there. Mm-hmm. But this fire in Ocean County, that was a very, very hot fire. And it moved very, very fast. And thank goodness for that fraternity of firemen and our first responders, our police force, and a lot of volunteers. They were able to get control of this. And if they didn't, it would have been disastrous.
Tragic. Tom, Elizabeth, we're a few more than a few miles south of it. Yet the back deck looked like we had snow flurries from the ash.
How about that?
It was amazing. Yeah. Well, Tom, let's get to, we're speaking with Tom Connors, a legislative liaison, New Jersey Outdoor Alliance, fighting for your rights to hunt, fish, trap, whatever, in New Jersey. And again, stewardship, very important. Well, Tom, on the fishing end, angler access has been sort of, not really public. It's like, yeah, who cares? Because it's just fishermen. It's not hunting. But on the fishing end, angler access, especially on waters that are stocked by New Jersey Fish and Wildlife, and access is either denied or so severely curtailed. It's happening in some lakes up north and also down here in the Southlands, correct?
You're absolutely right, Tom. There are quite a few lakes that Union Lake in Millville comes to mind right away.
Yeah.
I will say Newton Creek in Collingswood. The state went in there and they dredged it. They built a new parking lot. They built up the banks to correct any sediment flowing into the lake, and that creek, it's a lake. It's called Newton Creek.
Right.
Is a diamond in the rough for freshwater anglers. There is loaded with great fish in that in the lake. Crappie.
Snakeheads. Yeah, I was just going to say, snakehead heaven, man. Those things, you know, think about a snakehead cod is you catch it when you let it go, it comes back after you. They're badass.
Yeah. but they made a nice big parking lot where you can pull in with your boat trailer, a nice ramp. Very nice. I mean, there's, in South Jersey, Rainbow Lake down in Bridgeton can use some improvements. Stewart's Lake in Woodbury. I own a lake in Franklinville. These are all lakes that can use improvements to their boat ramps. But the big one that we've talked about quite a bit is Greenwood Lake up in the New York, New Jersey border.
On the Jersey side, Passaic County, yeah.
Yeah, it has nearly 70 miles circumference, but there's only two access points for the public. It's a state-owned lake, and it's stocked with New Jersey-raised fish. But yet the public only has two access points. But the state, working with Parks and Forestry and Office of Resource Development, they're making some improvements, and we're going to probably have some construction for some ramps potentially beginning next summer.
Great.
There's still some work on the designs and of course permits and things like that. But up there you have the whole circumference of the lake is privately owned, except for those two access points. And a lot of the private marinas that used to allow you a day pass, so to speak. But now they've even stopped.
Tommy, let me interrupt you a second. Met a young woman at a boat show. I'm not going to mention the marina. God, they're always good people. The animus towards anglers. We don't want them. They're trying to turn Greenwood, to me, it seems, more into a resort lake, like something in the Poconos or like out by Lake Mead with the floating tiki bars and stuff. They looked at fishermen as being pains in the asses. We don't want the one lady she was at. We don't want them here. I says, whoa. I said.
But, everyone has their right to their opinion, but she also needs to be given some education on, if I wanted to go from South Jersey and go fish Greenwood Lake for the day, the boom to their economy, the local economy, I'm going to have to fill up with gas to go home. I'm going to probably eat two or three times.
Right.
I may even spend a night and fish 2 days. I'm going to bring my wife and my kids. There's a lot of money that's spent in that region, in that local area, because of the freshwater anglers.
Well, Tom, let me interrupt again. Sorry being rude, but it's me. It's the first time I'm rocking in with Tommy Connors. My God. How long it took me to get him? But why has the state Bureau of Freshwater Fisheries, Fish and Wildlife, what have you, have they been hearing from any angler groups about why are we stocking the walleyes and the muskies, which are trophy proportions up there, people? I'll tell you, kids aren't safe swimming here. They're so big. But why are we stocking this if access is so difficult, if access is almost impossible and or expensive at a tune of, what, 35, 40, 50 to launch a boat? I'm not exaggerating. Has there been any play that you've heard with the NJOA about stop stocking them, put those fish maybe in a pack on or muskinet or somewhere?
I haven't heard that, Tom, but I know that there are lots of freshwater angler groups in that area that I can't – I apologize for not being able to name them all. But I know that there are – they have been knocking on the door of the DEP for years to have better access. I haven't heard any chatter about to stop stocking it, because certainly that would hurt the folks that do fish it, that do are able to be a part of a private marina or have waterfront property. But no, I haven't heard that, because certainly those folks contribute to the local and state economies as well. But you have a valid point there, but there is, I have not heard anyone asking not to stock it and put those fish somewhere else.
Okay, Tom. Well, Tom Connors, we only have a couple of minutes left in this segment. We're speaking with Tom Connors, Legislative Liaison, New Jersey Outdoor Alliance. Well, Tom, at the Jamboree here, you guys are going to be exhibiting there. Great place for people to go up there, learn, be a part of it. Again, Jimmy Donofrio, former executive director of RFA, a long time ago, said, democracy is not a spectator sport. Get involved. And the NJOA is front and center. Correct, Tom?
You're hit the nail on the head, Tom. We are the only organization that can lobby our legislators. We're the only organization that can go and donate to the legislators. And this weekend's Jamboree in Logan Township, if you're going to go to any outdoor sportsman's related event this year, then I would make my way to Logan Township to the Horse Dream Park.
It is.
There's going to be a lot of NJOA representatives there. Also, a lot of the other outdoor organizations, United Bow Hunters, National Wild Turkey Federation will be there. The annual Deer Classic is going to be the event.
We discussed that last week with Linda DiPiano from Fish and Wild. Tom, again, the deer in Jersey, Mary, Mother of God and all the saints. People say, those are Jersey deer. Yes, they are.
Well, if I can share a very short story.
Go, man.
Years ago in Edison, I was talking to Larry Haggerty, and a gentleman who was an outfitter from Illinois came over and said to Larry, are these the all-time best deer in New Jersey? And Larry said, these are just the all-time, these are deer from just last season. And the guy's jaw almost hit the floor. There are, you gotta be a little creative in New Jersey, because a lot of deer are wary of people. It's not like Illinois where a big buck has never saw another person.
Right.
All the big land they have out there. But in New Jersey, you got to be a little creative, and you got to think like a deer sometimes, and know where they're at, and know where they're going. This Jamboree is going to be something very special. It's going to be a beautiful day. I hope a lot of folks can get out there and meet with these different organizations, because we are on the front lines doing the work for all sportsmen and women in the state.
Tom Connors, thank you much. We're up against the break. Give that website, please, or Facebook for the NJOA. Go.
Oh, it was the New Jersey Outdoor Alliance .com.
Okay, and you guys have a Facebook page, correct?
We do.
Yep. Okay, everything is there. Tom, safe travels. Hope to see you, if not on the water, in the field. That German short here, man. Ooh, that would be nice. Ooh.
She's a beauty.
Hey, with pheasant stocking and quail stocking numbers reduced, I may have to put a call into you. We'll see. Tommy, you take care. Best of the family. We'll see you, man.
Yes, thanks, Tommy.
Take care. Tom Connors, NJOA. Hey, man, we're up against a break. Hang in, man. We got some more stuff about the Jamboree. Next segment. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5. For complete contest rules, visit WPGTalkRadio.com.
Bullet points.
I'm Evan Brown. No, you can't shoot that drone. Florida lawmakers are debating a bill that could get some gun owners in hot water if they react poorly by shooting a drone flying over their home, even though the bill is designed to give them some permission in some cases. The lawmakers in the Florida Senate would give homeowners the power to shoot down a drone infringing on their right to privacy at home using reasonable force. But the bill doesn't detail what exactly it would mean for a drone flying overhead being too invasive, or what reasonable force in these scenarios would look like. Regardless, it is a violation of federal law to shoot at aircraft, and drones would qualify. Even still, it is perhaps not the safest idea. Firing rounds up in the air means they come back down somewhere, and if one were to actually hit the drone would come crashing down. Then what? And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
My name is William Yank. I'm a 23-year-old, three-time leukemia survivor. Leukemia Lymphoma Society was this unforeseen blessing for me because I wouldn't have been able to get CAR T-cell therapy. Ways that I advocate for cancer is probably mostly through my podcast and my Instagram or TikTok. It's so vitally important that we have Leukemia Lymphoma Society on our side.
To give or get help, visit lls.org.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app.
Yeah, back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. April 26th and 27th. A glorious final Saturday indeed in April. My God, I love all months. At my age, like I said, my feet hit the hardwood in the morning. It's a great day. But April, and going out with a bang again, it's the New Jersey State Federation of Sportsmen's Club South Jersey Jamboree. Going on today from 9 a.m. until 5 p.m., rain or shine. There's going to be some thunder showers out that way at the Dream Park out there in Gloucester County, the Equestrian Center. It's inside, so no worries. Now, we're going over some of the exhibitors there. One club organization just struck my fancy. Never had anyone from them on Rack and Fin Radio in 22 years. For shame! Hey, I admit nothing. I acknowledge not much of a surf guy. Two or three times a year, four is a lot. Something to do, catch some fish, get some time, have a good time. But organization that's out there, among others, but front and center, tooth and nail, fighting for the rights of beach access, among other things, super organization doing cleanups, et cetera. It's the New Jersey Beach Buggy Association. Been around for a while. Join us on the line, first time. I tell you, this is a win-win all around. It's first vice president Paul Novello. Now, again, this get out there and see. They have one thing that they're exhibiting at the Jamboree. Going to really blow your mind. But I want to learn more about the organization itself. Joining us on the line is Paulie. How you doing, man?
Good, Tom. Thank you for having me.
I'm actually honored. I'm just surprised at myself. My lovely Dee Marie said, they've been around that long. You never had them on. I said, man, I'm not much of a beach guy. They call them Mammal Stranding Center when I show up. Anyway, Paul, you guys have a great exhibit going on at the Jamboree. Go into that. Then I want to get into some of the nuts and bolts of that outstanding organization.
Well, as you said, we have a booth at this beautiful Jamboree. And this year we are breaking out our mascot again. And you have to stop by and see us. See the mascot. It's an old Model A Ford. It's a thing of beauty. It's driven on the beach, old two-wheel drive.
Model A? A Model A.
Yep.
Hey,
that's two models before the car I'm currently driving, Model A Ford.
Okay, the restoration of this vehicle. I told you once when we spoke earlier in the week, I look at some of these ancient black and whites, the old prints, whatever, and these, I call them beach battle wagons on the beach, but they were all two-wheel drive, correct?
Yep. A lot of times back then, they drove on bald tires because you don't want an aggressive tread. You want to kind of float on top of the sand. You air down properly, and if you drive properly, you're going to be okay.
That is absolutely amazing. Listen, you see some of these with the rod holders and everything on it. People, from what I understand, Paul, the research I've done, people used to camp in these things overnight.
Oh, yeah.
So, Paul, restoring the who was the owner? Restoring this Model A that's on exhibit. What's the story on that?
Well, the car is kind of on loan to the Beach Buggy Association from the DeSaul family. That's an old family who lived out on Island Beach. And we have maintained it. When I started with the club, Paul Harris had that stored in his garage, and we would take it out to all different events. Paul had to give up the storage of it, and it was recently stored on a trailer with a tarp over it outside, and it kind of fell into a little bit of disrepair.
Oh, yeah.
The new president, Mark DeCinzio, and I both found it very important to get it restored. And one of the members, Rick, I think he's a magician, a surgeon, whatever. He's fantastic. The car looks like it drove off the showroom. I'm so very pleased with it.
Well, Paul, New Jersey has a rich tradition of surf fishing excellence. In fact, in the McLean's Encyclopedia, I believe it was, or one of them, New Jersey, Ocean City area through there was considered the redfish capital of the Mid-Atlantic region. And we're known for our striper fishing, the historic bluefish runs. Jersey beach fishing is unbelievable, yet there's a lot of snags now with all the development stuff. Who's trying to, what town's trying to block access, et cetera. Go into the Beach Buggy Association's influence in that matter.
Well, whenever we find out there's a problem, and it's usually word of mouth, someone reaches out to us and like, hey, they're trying to do this in this town or stop access here. And we work with the local municipalities, the county, and also the state to maintain beach access. We also on our website, www.njbba.org, we list all the points of vehicular access points.
Oh, great.
And each one has a little blurb on how to go about getting your permit, what the rules are, when you can go on, when you can't go off. Because as you know, if it's a large beach area, you're not going to be driving the beach while the people are bathing.
Well, I've been a member since 2008. You've been surf fishing, you told me long before that. How have you seen things change for the better, neutral, maybe going on a downside? Again, insofar as access and people saying the beaches belong to swimmers and surfers, not fishermen, what have you. Have you noticed that?
Well, there are certain groups that believe the beach is for me, this is all you can do. But that's not true. And if everybody gets along and plays nice, we all can enjoy it. The biggest thing I've seen is after COVID, the number of people getting the beach permits blew up.
Oh,
everybody buys a permit, and they go down there, and it's not a beach driving permit. It's a mobile sport fishing vehicle permit. Key word here is fishing. You're supposed to be fishing. People go out there, and they'll camp, picnic. They'll get a $10 Zebco from Walmart and stick that in the sand and say they're fishing.
Paul, excuse me. I've seen that a lot over the years that fish across on occasion on the South Jetty, Bartik Inlet. I see that across on the North Jetty.
Yep.
And you look at the bloggers, they're not fishing. They're just, okay, fine. They're hanging out. But wait, whoa, that's not what the permit's about.
Right. And the biggest problem I have is a lot of times they don't care. They just leave their litter all around. The kids dig big holes, and they don't fill them in. And then you're driving at night, and bam, there goes your axle. You know, it's very sad.
Well, Paul, we're working with you mentioned that you work with the personnel there. Is anything improving, or have they been made aware of such things?
Well, it's kind of the people at Island Beach don't really have a say in how the permits are issued. Back in the day, you used to have to go and get the permit in person, and they went on sale January 1st,
first,
so people would start lining up at before midnight on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, yeah.
And they would go and get their permit.
I've been there.
All their safety gear checked. And by the way, the list of safety gear was developed by the Beach Buggy Association to keep you safe and operable on the beach. But now, I don't know how many thousand permits they do. It's all online. They had problems with the contractor who was hired to issue the permits. So it's kind of a mess. But speaking of messes, one of the things the Beach Buggies do is we do beach cleanups, whether it's by ourselves or another organization. And we go up and down a beach, and you'd be amazed at all the things we find and pick up.
Well, Paul, see, the organization is seen then. It's tangible. It's not just sending in a chat, this is a club. I mean, you guys are out there walking the walk.
Well, you know, a lot of times when people hear about the Beach Buggies, all they think we do is drive up and down the beach chasing fish. And we do drive up and down chase fish, even once in a while we find them. But that's only a small portion. Once again, we're fighting for beach access, promoting conservation. We do community outreach. We want to educate and spark interest in people who have a like-minded love of the outdoors.
Okay, join us online.
Like I said,
Go ahead. Join us on the line this morning. Sorry about that. First vice president of the New Jersey Beach Buggy Association, Paul Novello. The organization is exhibiting today at the South Jersey Jamboree out there at the Gloucester County Dream Park, the Equestrian Center. Rain or shine, it's under the roof. It is a great facility. But check this out. Paul, go ahead. I had to put that in there as per the timeline. But what were you saying?
Oh, okay. I was just saying, you know, the different things we do to foster the sport, to keep the tradition going, because it is a family tradition. Right now, on our board of officers, we have Ron Wood Jr. as the second vice president. His father used to be a president of the association. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's passed down through generations. My son and daughters love the beach, and, you know, it's all because of my involvement with the Beach Buggy Association.
Listeners, if you want to get on the beach, you're fishing, whatever, think about the Beach Buggy Association. You don't necessarily have to have a buggy per se, but if you want to get on there and see what this organization is. Jersey surf fishing can be just absolutely fantastic, but access is vital. Keeping the beaches clean is vital. And, Paul, this organization is front and center with that.
Yep. Like you said, we also teach a beach driving class. We just had one last month.
Oh, bud, you better sign me up for that.
There you go.
Oh, boy.
It's a very, very informative class. When I used to take part in teaching the class, I would say there's two groups of people driving on the beach. One who has gotten stuck and one who's going to get stuck. It's just the nature of the beast.
He said that for my benefit over there. Yeah, go ahead.
One of the things we have is a courtesy patrol. And while they're out fishing or enjoying the day, they're flying the Beach Buggy courtesy patrol flag. And if you have a bad day, you flag one of those people down, they'll help you out. You know, we have tow straps. Sometimes we can pull you out. Other times we can help you get out if you are stuck.
Hey, you better sign me up for the top membership on that one, because I just know that Xterra. It's on its last legs. As my mechanic, the great Keith there at R&R, says, Tommy P, she's having trouble breathing. So I want to get one last Island Beach State Park trip in. Well, Paul, website, phone number, please. How do people that can't make it out to the park today get involved?
Well, best way you can go is check us out on the our webpage. Very informative, a lot of links, a lot of photos showing you the things we've done. We just installed beach area signs so you know where you're at. They're reflectorized.
Nice.
We have National Hunting and Fishing Day coming up. I think that's in September. That's where we take special needs kids out fishing.
Oh, great.
We have a youth fishing tournament. That's on September 13th. Every kid who, every winner goes home with a rod and a trophy. Every kid goes home with a prize. We take veterans out fishing twice a year. This year, for Vineland Veterans Home. This year, it's June 7th and 12th.
Nice.
You can see we do a lot of things. But anyway, to find out more, go to www.njbba.org or check us out on Facebook. and we'd love to have new members. In fact, while you're at the Jamboree, go there and sign up, become a member. You get a license plate and everything. Great organization.
Fantastic. Just super deal. Paul Novella, honor having you on Rack and Fin Radio. First time, New Jersey Beach Buggy Association. Check them out at today's Jamboree at the Dream Park in Gloucester County, 400 Route 130 South in Logan Township. Even I can find it. It's that easy. Straight shot. I'm going right across the expressway, 295, 130, bada bing, bada boom, and you are there. Boy, I'll see you, man. You take out. I'll meet you on the water, brother.
Hey, Tom, I want to get you out with the Atlantic Saltwater Fly Rodders, get you out fly fishing to surf.
I can do that, man. Hey, I'm good. Hey, listen to me. Listen to me, Novella. I'm good with the bluegills and the poppers and the stock trout with my corn fly. So we'll work on that.
There you go.
Take care, brother. We'll see you.
Bye-bye.
New Jersey Beach Buggy Association. Check them out at the Jamboree or go to the state. Grab that cup. Grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Keeping up the beach talk with our next guest. Be right back.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Fox News, I'm Deborah Valentine. The funeral mass for Pope Francis underway at St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. Father Victor of Brazil is pleased to see hundreds of thousands of mourners gathered in St. Peter's Square.
I think it's a great sign that all of us, we must be here to celebrate him and to thank God for his life.
With world leaders in attendance, Fox's Alex Hogan reports security's tight.
The security presence is extremely ramped up. We are seeing snipers on ready, fighter jets on standby. More than 8,000 police officers and members of the military have been deployed.
Pope Francis has chosen to be buried at St. Mary Major, one of the four papal basilicas in Rome. He died Easter Monday at the age of 88. President Trump and the First Lady are among world leaders in Rome for today's funeral. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. Cloudy and breezy today. Couple of showers and a thunderstorm. Gusty winds and small hail can accompany any downpour today. We'll reach a high of 77. A breezy evening, otherwise clearing and cooler tonight with a low of 46. Partly to mostly sunny and windy tomorrow. Strong winds and low humidity will lead to a high fire threat tomorrow. Expect a high of 69. Pleasant Monday with plenty of sun, high 75. I'm AccuWeather's Drew Shannon on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Here we go, look out below. Back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Week of April 26th and 27th. Again, hey man, happy new year coming up next Sunday. Fluke season opens at the Parallel Universe of Rack and Fin Radio. And when the season opens, it's the time for a Happy New Year celebration. Probably the most popular saltwater inshore game fish along the Jersey Shore. Check out the May edition of the Fisherman the May issue, I should say, of the Fisherman Magazine. May the 4th Outback Fluke be with you. By none other than Jim Hutchison Jr., Managing Editor of New Jersey and Delaware Bay edition of the Fisherman Magazine. As always, the first thing when I get the issue of the Fisherman, I go right to the editorial log. Now, last segment we had on a gentleman from the Beach Buggy Association. We talked about the Jersey surf fishing opportunities, what this organization does, and they're going to be at the exhibiting today at the Sportsman's Jamboree. So I looked at the editorial. I said, wow, this is a perfect rollover into segue, however you want to do it in radio speak. Sand for Sale by Jim Hutchison Jr. Topic in this segment of the editorials, the editor's log, editorial segment is about beach replenishment, a necessary evil. And Hutch is on the line with us right now. Hey, Hutch, I know you're going to be doing the banquet thing tonight there, but about this this editorial, but you hit it right on the head. Did I send you my radio plan? How did you do this?
If I'm starting to crawl inside your head or vice versa, one of us is in trouble.
Oh, listen, by the way, just a quick non sequitur. Talking about the beach, Nikki Hanashevsky's article on early season drum and the surf, outstanding. But I expect no less from Hutch and Honda. Okay, Hutch, go ahead. With the sand for sale, the importance of Hutch, I never realized sand in everyday life. Mary, Mother of God.
I never realized it either. None of us did. We were invited by Rutgers University. I love the guys at Rutgers. We are blessed with like just the best science outfits university wise, with Stockton and Monmouth and Rutgers. Anyway, Rutgers gets contracted by the federal government to do this research into sand mining. So a bunch of us, commercial and recreational, were sitting in this conference and at the Jacques Cousteau Center in Tuckerton. And it was very informative. You know, it was Dr. Motz was given this presentation, really informative about the purposes of sand and this research they're doing to figure out these the sand ridges off of Brigantine and how they're important in fisheries and pop up. It's really interesting until the light bulb goes off of our head. And we're like, wait a minute, are we talking about beach replenishment? No, not necessarily. We're talking about any reason why somebody would take this sand and do something else with it.
Yeah.
And that's when we realized that BOEM, the Bureau of Ocean and Energy Management, is like considering other purposes for taking the sand off of our inshore waters, like selling it, like leasing our inshore grounds so that companies can mine sand for construction purposes. So it's staggering, man, just staggering.
And Hutch, you pointed out very, again, pointedly, pun intended, not all sand is created equal. Like, we have the premium. We have the ultra of sand.
So hundreds of thousands of years in the making, tumbling out of inlets and getting rolled in the saltwater environment. You know, we started looking into the fact that the sand in the Arabian Peninsula is not good for construction. You know, and that's what I wrote into the editor's log, is that, you know, in Saudi Arabia, they ship their construction sand in from Australia.
Yeah.
You know? So and that's what we're looking at off of our beaches. You know, the Army Corps is only taking the best sand off of the beach to put it back on the beach. But now what we've got to pay attention to is that other people want that sand, too. It's a big commodity. It's the second most heavily used commodity, natural resource in the world over it. And the first is water. So it's just, if folks get a chance to read Sand for Sale, it was just shocking to a bunch of us that we never thought of this before.
And Hutch, the beach replenishment impacting the great surf fishing we have. Surf fishing opportunity. You know, it's you know, I see these things ever since I hooked up with Wood Advertising, again, pun intended, way back in 88, 89, whatever. And then traveling the beaches more so than I ever did in my 39 years previous, and seeing this replenishment going on, I'm saying that can't really be good. Jim, wasn't that responsible for maybe the, for lack of a better term, the destruction of the clam fishery off LBI?
I don't know. That's every. I
talked to some guys at Barnegat Light, and they swear that's what happened.
So, you know, I grew up on Long Beach Island. So I look at the beach replenishment from maybe a different perspective. And it's what I allude to in the magazine, that as much as a lot of folks are against beach replenishment, the very concept, you know, we started this mess by putting homes, on barrier islands hundreds of years ago. That never should have been done. But once Pandora's box was open, what are we going to do? We can't just let Long Beach Island or any of the barrier islands just fall into the sea. They have to be replenished. You know, it's just one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So as much as it hurts the surf fishing structure for a while, where I am now up here in Brook Township, and I fish Bayhead a lot, it took years ago, 20 years ago, Bayhead was great fishing. Then it went through a lapse because of all the beach replenishment. But eventually, she takes back what she wants. She puts the structure back in place and becomes great fishing again. But, you know, perhaps it had something to do with Atlantic surf clams and many other things. But I don't know. It's just a necessary evil at this point in society.
Joining us on the Rakuten Radio line this morning is Jim Hutchinson, Jr., managing editor of New Jersey Delaware Bay edition of Fisherman Magazine. Check out the May issue of the Fisherman Magazine. I love this. This is like a Tom P. title, Hutch. You're killing me. May the 4th Outback Fluke be with you. Hey, people didn't realize, Hutch. I tell us when I run into people at Creekside, Yoda was a hell of a fluker, man. Where Luke Skywalker landed that swamp, there are doormats and area rugs of their kind in there, but that's Tom P. extraterrestrial knowledge. But also, listeners, sand for sale, really fascinating, Jim. Again, something that I always live in Jersey, and I've traveled and lived other places far away from the ocean, far away from any saltwater environment, but you take sand for granted.
It's really weird, and I hope people get it, kind of dig it. But it's frightening all the same. And again, here's a bunch of commercial recreational fishermen in there working with Rutgers and thinking about things. Really cool. And then the light bulb goes off and says, if Rutgers can't find this, hopefully Rutgers does a great job of really identifying that this is essential inshore fish habitat.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can do that, then maybe they can convince Boehm that sand for sale is a really bad idea and just go back to doing what you were doing before, except for granting industrial offshore wind permits.
Yeah. Well, Hutch, again, listen, this is so cool. Hutch, you sort of answered it. Check this out, listen, I'm quoting. Since Boehm drives revenue for the federal government through leases, I doubt they're on the Doge filet table.
Vintage Hutch. It's the part of the federal government that's become a profit generator for stupid ideas. So, you know.
Jim, again, not putting you on the spot, but what about the offshore wind thing? Somehow this thing always seems to come to life. Is it dead, or is this just still percolating under the surface with one signature here or there? It can get back going. What do you think?
I think it has to go through review. And I think this latest decision by the Trump administration, where the Interior Secretary Burgum said, this review process for Empire Wind didn't follow what was supposed to be followed. You know, the National Environmental Protection Act, NEPA. Empire Wind was a perfect example of a project that went through without any type of permitting, without any type of environmental review. So what I think is really evidenced by the Empire Wind decision up off of Long Branch, that the Trump administration saying, you never got any kind of review, no environmental review. You never got your permits. So we're going to look at this and decide whether or not you can come back.
Okay.
So it's on pause. So I think that we just have to trust that the right thing is going to get done under this administration, where it didn't under the last.
Okay, Jim, before I let you go real quickly, will you be out at the Jamboree today?
Yeah, I'm actually Tom Wiest and the guys from South Jersey Federation Clubs invited me up to be the keynote speaker tonight.
Yeah, but that's tonight. I mean, you're gonna be there in the afternoon when my fat ass is running around.
No, I've got a cleanup project here in my neighborhood starting in just a little while, and then gonna try to sneak on the boat for a bit, and then I will not see you, but enjoy the day.
Okay, Hutch, listen, you take care. By the way, how's Big Hutch?
He's great. We were in drumming earlier this week. We didn't get any drum, but we had a great time kicked back on his boat, just getting caught up. It's been a while.
There you go. Hutch, you take care, man. Hey, good luck. Good luck tonight, because you're going to have a lot of faces looking at you. That's that Hutch guy. Oh, yeah. Take care, little brother.
First time I've been in an uncomfortable situation.
Listen, check out the editorial, Sand for Sale, May issue of Fisherman Magazine, and check out Hutch's article. Also, Nikki Hanashevsky's article. Great stuff. But Hutch, I expect no less. You got that?
Thank you, brother.
Take care, man. See ya.
Bye.
Yeah, always good stuff coming from Hutch of the Fisherman Magazine. Yeah, talk about the surf one more time. Just a reminder, the Governor's Cup surf fishing tournament is going to be on May 18th. Registration, same day registration numbers at 5 a.m. at Pavilion 1. Cost of entry, $20 for ages 8 and up, $5 for youngsters 13 to 17, and free for ages 12 and under. Go to njfishandwildlife.com for more information on that. Going to be up to close it out in the next segment. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Whoa, the lovely month of May is... I love May. Love April. Love May. Love April. Love May. But turkey time, trout time, striper time, drum time. It is time to get out of the studio and on the water. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station.
Hi, this is Gordon Deal. Coming up on This Weekend, more and more parents are giving up custody of their children to the state because they can't find enough behavioral health services. Hear the unsettling trend. Also, golf isn't just for hours of fun on a Saturday with the boys pounding beers. New research finds playing the game can add years to your life, and why women change the way they speak when they're on the job. That and more on This Weekend.
This morning at 6 on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hey, that'll do for this weekend. Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of April 26th and 27th. Again, remember, starting later today is the New Jersey State Federation of Sportsmen's Clubs Jamboree at the Dream Park, 400 Route 130 South in Logan Township, New Jersey. We just had word. Very special guest may be appearing in his Sussex to Cape May County touring schedule all over the place. New Jersey Republican gubernatorial candidate Jack Cittarelli, maybe if it allows, maybe making an appearance at the Jamboree. Candidate Cittarelli, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Tom. Great to be back with you. Looking forward to the Jamboree a little later today. And I got to tell you, when it comes to energy, buddy, I think you got me beat.
I don't know. I'm too fired up here. I'm just too fired up. Jack, you've always stressed to me the importance of the hunters, trappers, you know, and fishermen and conservation, whatever, New Jersey. Too much politics involved in the decisions being made in wildlife and fisheries management. Now, again, someone on the D side of the aisle running for governor avowed right off the bat, I'm going to end the bear hunt or try to end the bear hunt. I mean, Jack, I don't get this. You recognize the importance of the hunters and fishermen and women in the state. This is great.
You bet I do. Come on, it's part of the everyday life in a great many parts of New Jersey. And speaking of that, Tom, you know, our heart goes out for all those that were affected by those wildfires in South Jersey this week. I know as we speak today, Saturday, it's contained about 50%. We seem to be heading in the right direction. But listen, as governor, I'm going to support our sportsmen and sportswomen. They're critically important to doing everything we got to do with regard to wildlife and our fisheries, making sure we've got open space and allowing them to enjoy the sports.
Gubernatorial candidate Cittarelli, before I let you go, up against heartbreak, we're actually ending the show. Again, can you stress the importance, I tell you, the importance of voting, whether it's a write-in or what? Get out and vote. Get it done. You only lost by a few friggin' points last time, Jack. And I told the guy, I didn't bother to vote. Piss me off.
Tom, that ain't going to happen this time. Last time around, we just had too many people just didn't believe. They now believe because of the closeness of my race and even Donald Trump's race this past election day. So people understand I'm expecting a much better turnout this time around, and I'm going to do everything in my power to deliver a win with the support of those voters. We're going to get it done, Tom.
Okay, from my court, you have the Trump train. You got the Cittarelli locomotive, baby. Hey, Jack, how God spares, we'll see you sometime this afternoon at the Dream Park. It's going to be great.
Looking forward to it, Tom. Hey, thank you.
You'll hear me coming, Jack. You'll hear me coming. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Wow, good news on that. Who's going to be on Rock and Finn? There you go, man. There you go. Gubernatorial Jack. If you have any questions, this is why this Jamboree is so important. 9 to 5, get there today. It's inside. It's going to be rain, sun, whatever. It's inside. So it's going to be just... What an event. Can't wait to see you there. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. See you next weekend, Rack and Fin Radio. Happy New Year, man. Fluke season opens the 4th. It's the same that Todd closes the 30th, but that's all right. And we got CBS on the 17th, and trout still being stocked. See you next week, Rack and Fin Radio.